mail truck out of town. Being that there was no GPS back then, you had to go to the old school map that you unfold into 20 different little pages, and you gotta make your little marks and figure out your way to get to your destination. This movie had a big part of that through the entire scenario of what was going on, aside from the love story part. It was the travel and the journey. Shout to Regina King, who is an Emmy and Oscar winner. We're longtime friends. Shout to Nia Long as well. Regina was in the movie also with Joe Torre, the comedian, who did a very good job in the movie as well. It's really based off of a big chunk of the four of them throughout the whole thing. Once we saw this, Guru and I went back to New York and said, let's do a song called A Long Way to Go. Guru titled it, but A Long Way to Go was really appropriate because of the whole journey in the mail truck. Plus, we had heard a couple of the songs that John Singleton let us hear. We got to hear Niggas Don't Give a Fuck by the Dog Pound and Snoop. We got to hear One in a Million by P-Rock and CL Smooth, which was amazing bangers. So even with that, we were like, okay, we fit right in with what we're doing. Now, the day that we recorded it, Guru was very, very, very twisted on the good old bubblies. I couldn't get him to get up and get in the booth to do the song. I'm like, dude, we got to do it so we can submit it to John. He's like, yeah, all right, just hit record. If you listen to how he sounds on that record, being that we know him and all the people that know and love Guru and been through episodes with him when he's really good on the liquor, he's really, really delivering the rhyme in a drunken state, but something about it made me go, I like it. Don't change it. It's something about it that I just want to make it stay the way it is. And we left it the way it is. And to me, for this very day, because I was there to witness how he was going through that particular situation, it's one of my favorite songs ever of all time. And I'm glad we didn't switch it just to get it better tone-wise. And he did it in one take. We did the song, turned it in. John said, I don't like it. It doesn't fit. We were like, nah, it does fit. He said, no.
We have to respect the boss of the show.
It's his film.
Guru was very upset about it. The fact that we knew it was called Poetic Justice, Guru made sure he put that in the rhyme.
He said, the counterfeit, unlegit type of people, those cellophane ones, the ones you could see through it's Poetic Justice, because I'm mad with the pad. So we wrote it to make sure Poetic Justice even had a nice little jab in there to go along with the soundtrack. So that's why he was a lot more hurt that it didn't, register to get put into the soundtrack. But I was like, it's still going to work. And he said, but this is going to say Poetic Justice on our album. I'm like, yeah, but Poetic Justice has so many meanings that still apply to us. So we kept it like it was. And we're so happy we did. We were actually recording our Hard to Earn album at the same time, and we were getting ready to record Mass Appeal, which was our single, because we were pretty much near the end of our album, and we always do our singles last.
So I said, you know what, man? This song actually, since it starts off with,
now here's a funky introduction, rest in peace to Fife of Tribe Called Quest, I said, if we set this off on our album as the first song, I think it'll really set the tone of Hard to Earn when it's released. So let's just keep it and we'll put it out. He was like, I like that idea. So when you hear it, but you can't hear it until
this right here that contains these sounds on this floppy disk gets inserted
into the S950
and the MPC-60. And when you hit that button, this is what you get.
Boom, there it is. A long way to go. This is real special right here. Rest in peace to Guru. The Gangstar legacy continues. Salute. Floppy disk.
It's a long way to go when you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going when you're lost. It's a long way to go when you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going when you're lost. What you do to
now here's a funky introduction. Now here's a funky
It's a long way to go when you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going when you're lost. It's a long way to go when you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going when you're lost. What you need is more direction and get yourself some protection. I thought by now that you had learned your lesson. I'm stressing points and slamming all the joints you call the real shit correction. You know the bust the way you feel shit, baby. I still don't think you understand. You lose the
props than then. Rather, and it don't matter, cause when you flex, you're weak. So I'ma step just to speak about the counterfeit, unlegit type of people. Those cellophane ones, the ones that you can see through. It's poetic justice, cause I'm mad with a pack. So precise, my insight will take flight in the night and in the daytime. Cause I don't come up with corny rhymes, I'm too devoted to the concept of getting mine. So here's the deal, like Shaquille O'Neal. If you don't know what you're doing, how the hell can you be real? Now in 93, realistically, you should be well aware of all the evils out there. It's like a jungle sometimes. You get the message, you've got to rumble sometimes. It's getting hectic, emotions run deep as times run out. Solutions, it's time to find some out. So according to me, suckers are barred from obstructing my discussion because I've rhymed too hard. You take a whiff like a spliff here, like some fresh air. I came to claim shit this year. Take a stroll down the walkway or hallway or runway. Fuck with us, kid, you'll pay. I slay, and yo, I'm still on the expressway. I kick my essay, then you know we don't play. So pray down on your knees, G, cause it's the best way. Yes, the best way, cause it's a long way to go when you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going when you're lost. It's a long way to go when you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going when you're lost. I want to push you through the game, respect. There's a large amount of whack crews, but then I got bad news. Time to pay your dues, you fools. I'm like express mail with the script that hits like a third rail. When I shock the spot, it's hot from the rays of the sun. Original one, the prophet sent to become a lawgiver. Cause you shiver when I quiz ya. All about the real necessities of life, all about the game, and all about the name. G to the A to the N to the G. Star, we know who we are, but do you know who you are?
You go down and looking for justice, that's what you find. Just
cause it's a long way to go when you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going when you're lost. It's a long way to go when you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going when you're lost. It's a long way to go when you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going when you're lost. It's a long way to go when you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going when you're lost.
DJ Premier, and I present to you, So What's Up?
Okay, computer, run it back.
So what's up?
I know I always say all right, so I'm not gonna keep saying all right. This one, I'm gonna say okay, or check this out. Okay, check this out. New episode. This one is very, very vital to me because of the two individuals, actually three individuals, but I'll back it up and give you the story that led to what gave me the introduction to this incredible, iconic group. One of the members has passed on. Rest in peace to the God, my man Prodigy, man. Mobb Deep. All right, and shout to Havoc, who is one of the illest producers in the planet of music and hip-hop culture.
Should I show the disc and explain?
Yeah. All right, there's a lot of writing on this one, all right? Mobb Deep, Peer Pressure. As you notice, it says remix on there, right? Because the original version is a remix. And also peep this. It says S900, not an Akai S950. It's an Akai S900 sampler. Less memory, less features,
but that's where I started before I got to the 950 to sample the sounds that are saved on these floppy disks, which are then put into an MPC 60 Akai drum machine assigned to certain pads where I program it into my liking of a dope beat.
And it was 91.0 BPMs. That stands for beats per minute. Shout out to all the producers out there that know what that means. Even when we do stuff now, we'll go, well, what's the BPM?
And then we take it from there. It's called locking the beat to the original.
Now, the reason why this says remix,
I got to give it up to one of my favorite producers, Lars Professor, also of the legendary Main Source, also producer for Eric B and Rakim, Kool G Rap, and so many, many others. And
introducing the great Nas and Akineli. Shout out to Joe Fatal as well. On Live from the Barbecue, the first time you ever heard Nas is because of Lars Professor. This is 1993, by the way.
I get a call from Lars Professor, and he says there's this group that's just got signed to 4th and Broadway Records, and they're dope. They're representing Queensbridge. One's from Long Island, one's from QB, but they're repping QB when it comes to where they're going with the group.
He played me a song that he said needs a remix. It was called Peer Pressure. He gave me a cassette tape of that song.
They did their own artwork of the Mobb Deep with the pickaxe. And once I heard the song, he said, let me know if you want to work with them or not. I was already blown away just by the rhyme style. And they were young. They were probably like 16, maybe 17. They were just young kids.
I remember when we were going to meet up to at least get a vibe on where we were going with things.
They said they were out in Long Island because they used to work out of Spectrum City Studios, which is very, very well known for the Public Enemy album, Yo Bum Rest the Show, which was recorded there in Hempstead, Long Island. I had just moved to Hempstead, Long Island at the time and bought a house. Rest in peace to my homie, Dre Lodge. It was his parents' house and I bought it. And that's where I stayed at the time. So I was close by.
When I met up with him, Havoc says, yo, I got some beats on a cassette that I want you to check out. And I'm listening to all their beats and I'm going, shit, you don't really need me. He's like, yeah, but we need the name to set things off. And, you know, at that time, I was on a very, very good run. So I said, all right, I'll go ahead and do this remix.
Here is the original so you can hear what I heard in order to even understand their vocal tone, if they could rhyme and all of that. That Lars Professor met up and gave me directly. And it goes like this.
Okay, so now you heard that, a little bit of the vocals and all that. So, even though on the album Juvenile Hell it says the Lars Professor one is the remix,
that is the original that I heard.
Now,
as y'all know, when I load this up into the S900 sampler, which is the weapon of choice at that time,
and connected with the MPC 60,
you get this version.
So from there, Mobb Deep released their album Juvenile Hell. They released two singles, which was Peer Pressure and a video. Hit It From the Back was a second single.
Havoc did that one.
Gangstar was touring at that time. This is 1993, so we were preparing for our Hard to Earn tour. So a lot of times we weren't in town
to do a cameo and whatnot.
So they shot it to my version. And again, at that time, we're thinking remix, but again, they switched the name
to mine as the original and Lars Professor's as a remix. And next thing you know, after that album, then came The Infamous, which is a multi-platinum album, gutter from just the mud of the mud. I told Havoc on the phone a little minute ago before we did this.
In the era we came in, when Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory set the tone of how your albums had to be on point if you were the type of producers we are, when Infamous came, which Q-Tip was involved with that album,
that was the next Low End Theory. And you can challenge me on that all day. I know I'm right, so I don't think you want to go there. But shout out to Large Professor for even introducing me and making me a part of the connection to Mobb Deep. And if you even look, you see pictures of us where they were really young little kids doing their thing raw and drinking Hennessy, looking like Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin and them, you know, the Rat Pack, talking to older women going, "Hey, sweetheart, what's up?" They were one of the most confident groups I've ever seen. They weren't scared of anybody. And shout to, again, the great Mobb Deep, Prodigy and Havoc. Rest in peace, Prodigy. And we're going to salute the floppy disk, you heard? And no more till I have to feel lesser or deal with the peer pressure.
I'm DJ Premier and I present to you So What's Up.
Okay, computer. Run it back.
So what's up?
Oh, yeah. We're taking it to Texas. Hometown. Known these brothers for a long time, but one of them started to do some solo work. Shout to Rap-A-Lot Records, shout to Jay Prince, the whole team over there in H-Town.
And shout to Carlos Garza, who was a big part of me even getting connected to New York to get into the music business, and still longtime friends, shout to him. Shout to Fresh Fran as well, wherever you are.
So around 1994, I was introduced to a group on Rap-A-Lot, which was a lot different from the hard gangster shit that they had,
which obviously the Ghetto Boys are the cream of the crop on the label. But then you had like Def Four, then you had Gangsta Nip, and you had Raheem, and of course Scarface as a solo artist, Willie D as a solo artist, and Bushwick Bill as a solo artist, Big Mike, who later became part of the Ghetto Boys.
This group right here, the R Squad, was a whole left field version of that, just raw rap and just original beats.
And shout to the members, my man Rob Quest, who also goes by the name Blind Rob. He is actually blind and incredibly ill on all the instrumentation and production. My man Jug Mug,
and a really, really bugged out MC named Devin the Dude.
We're all big fans of him because he just really brings such a dope style. And the one thing I like about him is he always does like a scratch sound.
Even when you call him on the phone, when he sees it's my name, he'll go,
yep, 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 yeah.
Like, this is what he does. And everything is just so unique, fun, and full of a lot of weed. All right? Shout out to everybody that represents 420.
The Odd Squad, that's D-A, really, really made a nice groundbreaking debut album. The album was called Fat Enough for Everybody. Definitely one of the classic albums of the Rap-A-Lot legacy. From there, Devin started to do a string of solo albums. When he got to his 2002 album, which was called Just Trying to Live,
I got a call from the Rap-A-Lot team and a call from Devin.
They were turning the album in a few weeks, and they had a song that he really, really, really wanted to put out, but there was a sample issue that they couldn't clear. The song was called Doobie Ashtray, and here is the disc.
As you see, it says remix, because this is not the original. Even though it appears on the album, they took remix off once it was out there in the world. When they sent it to us to hear the original version over the sample, as soon as I heard it, first of all, I'm more known for like the 95 to 97,
even I'll drop to 92 BPM era. During that time when it came to production.
This one was a slow tempo, 71.5, but if you know a lot about Texas and Chopped and Screwed era, shout to DJ Screw, RIP, a lot of things are slow tempo because everybody drives out there and you gotta have the right ride, and this is so appropriate. Once I heard the original, I said, just send me the reel, because that's what we had, 2-inch reel, and they sent a CD with the acapella of his vocals already arranged, but I said, no, I want the 2-inch tape so that I can literally level it out to the way I started to hear things in my head. What I started to hear in my head was, I'm not gonna sample on this one. I'm gonna play keyboards, which is why you see Planet Fat right there. That's one of the older sound modules that we used to mess around with back in the day. That was where I got all my sounds from. Keyboards, bass line, all of that. And then I'm really particular about drums, so I said, you know what, let me make sure the drums are snapping with the acapella. Once I get that bounced to the way I want it, then let me play along with it in the same key of the sample, because if you have an ear, you know how to tune into whatever is being presented to you
when you do a remix.
So I went into my bag of tricks, found the sample that I liked on the Planet Fat, and started to just play chords. Once the chords were hitting to where I wanted it, the rest of it was saved on here, drums, and everything else was played directly into the MPC 60, which we call triggering, because when you run it through the Planet Fat, which we use as a signal called MIDI, M-I-D-I. MIDI allows any instrument that you plug into the drum machine and the sampler to play in sync
when the tape starts to spin around.
Before I finished it, I sent it to Devin
and said, hey man, this is where I'm working with the groove and everything. Do you want to me to continue?
He goes, not until you put some scratches on there. Being this called Doobie Ashtray, and he says someone had the nerve to take the herb about my Doobie Ashtray, that means you're fronting on somebody. So I thought about the classic scratch from the Jungle Brothers. Shout out to Jim Brownski, shout out to Africa, Sammy B, and Mike G. And I say, let me take Don't Front, because you don't front on weed. So when we laid the intro to start the beat, I had to move it around until
it was gonna lock into the way that they sent it to us. And mind you, this was not a Pro Tools session. This was straight to the 2-inch tape. I used the scratch Don't Front as my guessing spot when it was gonna hit. I just kind of held on to it, knowing where the starting point is supposed to land by watching the clock on the reel that ticks from the beginning of the reel to where we dump the music. And right there, I just watched it. And when it got near that number, I said, don't. And right on front, the beat just dropped. So wait for it, wait for it. Don't front. Boom. We were in business. When you load this up, put the scratch down
and insert it into the S950, then you get this.
And there you have it. One of the classic records that really put a lot of love between my moving to New York and reaching back out to be a part of a Texas legend. He is a legend. Shout to Devin the Dude. Shout to the whole Rap-A-Lot family. And again, salute the floppy disk, y'all. What you gonna do when your friends go home and you wanna drink a beer but your ends are cold?
Don't front. What you gonna do when the people go home and you wanna smoke weed but the reefer's all gone and somebody had the nerve to take the herb out of the doobie ashtray? Why they do me that way? What you gonna do when your friends go home and you wanna drink a beer but your ends all gone? Somebody had the nerve to take the herb about my doobie ashtray? Why they do me that way?
You probably don't have a big old house on the hill, but if you did, just imagine how would it feel if your phone got disconnected, no cash, your gas cut off, and the gal that you had that was helping just stepped the fuck off. She took the kid, the dog, and the kitty, and everybody know you're at a low, they feel pity. And what's really fucked up is now you're just normal, no more hoes, no more clothes, can't go to the show cause it's formal, and you wonder why, and you resort to getting high. But damn, you can't find your stash, and you never took the time to ask yourself,
what you gonna do when the people go home and you wanna smoke weed but the reefer's all gone and somebody had the nerve to take the herb out of the doobie ashtray? Why they do me that way? What you gonna do when your friends go home and you wanna drink a beer but your ends all gone? Somebody
probably don't have a lot of money, but if you did, would you find it funny if you lent it and you spent it and you didn't invest or put it in the bank so it can gain some interest? You just went and got the biggest car you can find and a couple of more just like it so your friends can follow behind. Never mind how much it cost, you cop the best weed to smoke, and for her a fur coat. You got jet skis and boats, and next thing you broke. The yacht that you got, it won't sail or float. You look back and try to catch someone's attention for help. You made a right at the light and they made a left, and you ask yourself,
what you gonna do when the people go home and you wanna smoke weed but the reefer's all gone and somebody had the nerve to take the herb out of the doobie ashtray? Why they do me that way? What you gonna do when your friends go home and you wanna drink a beer but your ends all gone? Somebody had the nerve to take the herb about my doobie ashtray? Why they do me that way?
Smoke some weed, but the reefer's all gone. What you gonna do when your friends go home? And you wanna drink a beer, but your end's all gone. Motherfucking good. Yeah. I'm gonna call up some more partners, man. I'm finna smoke. Bring the cigars, nigga.
I'm DJ Premier, and I present to you, So What's Up.
Okay, computer. Run it back.
So What's Up.
Okay, let's go, let's go. One of the hardest and... See, I started just scrunching my face up because
you gotta do that when you mention them.
And rest in peace to Guru of Gangstar. He said they're like Run DMC on steroids.
So you know that's a lot of bulking up right there.
Man, this one is about the legend, or like they call themselves, the world famous M.O.P.
The song, and it's where they're from.
Brownsville, okay? Dig this. This one right here is a little different because the first time I ever got to work with M.O.P. was in 1992 going into 93 when we met, because I used to be on WBLS doing radio. And when I heard How About Some Hardcore, shout to DR Period, one of the dopest producers out there in the game, I was just blown away by his production, and we didn't know who they were. When it came to the first album, To The Death, which was entirely produced by DR Period, we were just instant fans, and we got to see them live, and they sound just like the record, and all you saw was just black army jackets, gold teeth, and just a look of people that you just don't want to cross. And not only that, they're just is raw and they rhyming. Shout to Billy Danzini, a.k.a. Bill Dance, a.k.a. William Berkowitz. Shout to Lil Fang, a.k.a. Fizzy Womack, a.k.a. Rap Dude. There's a lot of a.k.a.s. And shout to Tef, a.k.a. Teflon of M.O.P. as well.
Shout to Fox from M.O.P., one of the hardest females in the world. She's from the Bronx, but everybody else from Brownsville. Lays, Boo Bang, even we're M.O.P. members, but... we're not from Brownsville. Brownsville is, like they said, never ran, never will. First of all, they were on their second album, their sophomore album called Firing Squad. All right, we have become friends, and they were in the video for Code of the Streets. Shout to Ralph McDaniels and the Vid Kid, a.k.a. Lionel Martin, who were the ones that shot this video for us for Gangstar. Now we've built such a rapport with each other that not only did we tour together, it was actually Nas, M.O.P., J. Rue the Damager, and Gangstar as a headliner. It was a dope tour. Nas was on it briefly, but if you look at the old laminates of our backstage passes, it has all of us on there and our logos. So now, jumping back into this Brownsville song.
I've always been into these weird space sounds. Shout to Pharrell. I just saw him do an interview with Mark Ronson,
and I saw him talk about how he comes from the era of Star Trek, and he's always been into space sounds and whatnot. I'm not a Trekkie, but, you know, it's part of my childhood coming up. But sound-wise, I like to just experiment with things so that I can show that the versatility of a producer is not just in one box. You know, being in several boxes and still keep your funk there when you lay things down. When it comes to MOP, I'm only going one way, and that's raw and uncut and hardcore. So I was going through sounds and looking for stuff, and I just heard these funny little, almost like communication sounds going blip, 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 blip. Just my ear, and again, I always put it back to the DJ ear. I was like, man, if I could take those little blip, 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 almost kind of like the way I did Come Clean, but not in the same way where it's biting, because we don't bite. Biting is a law in hip-hop, for those that don't know, that if you bite, usually it'd be an ass-kicking or a fight over just sounding like somebody else. I come from that era. I mean, even in the club, somebody go, yo, you bit my shit. Boom, a fight jump off. B-boys, breakers. Yo, you bit my move. Fight breakout. So I was not going to have it sound nowhere near what J. Rue's Come Clean sounds like, but I could hear just a different type of approach. Here's where the problem lied. I'm an Akai MPC 60 user at that time, and I was using an Akai S950 or S900 at that time, 93. Yeah, I was graduating to the 950. This is the problem. When I went to the session where, and shot the Lazy Lays, where they booked it, they didn't have an MPC 60 or 950. They ordered the wrong equipment that I asked for. I don't mean MOP. Lays. They had an MPC 3000. You sample into that. My version, I don't sample into. I trigger it with the 950. Being that neither one of those were available, I don't know how to put the sounds into the 3000. So, of course, there was some frustration. I'm complaining, and Lays is very technical, understands how to program beats and whatnot. So Lays was like, how about you feed the sample of those sounds, the bloop, 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 bloop. I'll show you how to assign it on the pads the way you want, and then you program it how you want, and then we'll dump it to tape, 2-inch tape, which is how we were recording our songs. This is the reason why you don't see MPC 60 written on here, because it was saved on an MPC 3000. Once Lays gave me the assignments to the pads the way I like to do it, he said, it's pretty much the same type of formula of programming. Get your program on, and there I did. Being that this one was programmed and saved on MPC 3000, we happen to have one here. Shout to Parks, thank you for making sure that there's one available, because not everybody has a 3000 anymore, because a lot of producers that I respect, even Lil Fame is one of the dopest producers and beat makers. They're into the MPC 2000 or the 2000 XL, Marco Polo 2000 or 2000 XL. A lot of people use the 2000. One of the key voices in their crew, his name is OG Boo Bang, wild dude from Brownsville. Now, OG Boo Bang had just passed away. So when we did this song, I said, I want the intro to have his voice, because at the end of How About Some Hardcore, he goes, I want to say what's up to the whole motherfucking MOP, boy. And I said, that's how I'm going to start the song. So at the beginning, I fly it in and kind of wait until that beat dropped with the little trickle down sound. Once the beat dropped, it was time for Bill and Fame to do their thing. But that was a salute to Boo Bang. We miss you, brother. And, you know, you live forever in all those MOP records, and Brownsville loves you. You know what I'm saying? So just wanted to make sure I put that in there. With this one, we're going to take the MPC 3000. And this one is just load up the actual program. And when you hit play, it goes a little something like this.
I want to say what's up to the whole motherfucking MOP. What? What?
First of all, when it comes to ad-libs, MOP is one of the kings of doing ad-libs. Even to watch them do it, they'll be whispering and going, okay, that, and I'm sitting there like, wow, look at them.
Keep in mind, there were two or three other songs that I also did on that album, which required a 3000 as well. But after that, we were right back to the good old MPC 60 and the good old S950 and back to my formula. But when it comes to any equipment, it doesn't matter what you use. If your ear and your style is already set in stone of how you want to be representing what you stand for as a producer or a beat maker, you got to know that you can do it on any type of equipment. These are just my weapons of choice. Some people like 380s, some people like AKs, some people like 45s, and some people like deuce deuces. All right? Pew, pew. Anyway, at the end of the day, y'all know what it is. We salute the floppy disk. All right? That's what's up.
Flag the scenery with heavy automatic machinery. Niggas up, y'all? I'm DJ Premier.
And I present to you, So What's Up.
Okay, computer. Run it back.
So What's Up.
We're going to get into some Gangstar history right about now. Take you back to 1998. It was our first gold album. It's called Moment of Truth. This album right here is very important because, for one, our previous album, Hard to Earn, came out in 1994. And we took a four-year break because Guru was also doing Jazzmatazz projects. And I was producing other artists on the outside. And he also was doing his Ill Kid projects and his Ballhead Slick projects. And then we always reunite to do our albums like we have always done once Jazzmatazz was born. To reunite 4 years later from doing a hip-hop album, sometimes it's a little quirky unless you have diehard fans. Fortunately, Gangstar fans have supported us from day one and they stick to us, and that's the reason why we're so appreciative of them always riding with us whenever we release anything, separately or together. Now, this album was very special because since we were reuniting to do an album after that long of a break, one of the things that we always do at least one record for radio. And this one happened to be one that we really, really had on our wish list, which is to work with Casey and JoJo, Jodeci. Sometimes it's hard to get these artists to even get down with certain artists and to reach out to them. And they were like, oh, man, we Gangstar fans. We love Gangstar. We're in. It was an automatic yes. Shout out to Puff for actually helping make that happen as well. Appreciate that, Diddy. Rest in peace, Andre Harrell as well. You know what I'm saying? So when we moved forward to getting the song done, I already had it in my head how I wanted to work on this song, and let me reach in the pocket here because I have the original disc and take a look at it. Royalty. I already knew that the vibe should have something that's smooth but still with the pounding drums that I'm known for. So I started just thinking in my head where I was going to go with it. When I started to combine the twinkly sounds with the drums, and we presented it to Casey and JoJo. They were out of town working in Atlanta at the time, and we were here in New York, so they couldn't come up to record it with us in person. And this is before digital, so we're still going to 2-inch tape. Best part about it was I got to get on the phone with them before the song was done, and we gave them the vocals to Guru so that they could at least understand where he was going lyrically. I remember I got on the phone with Casey and JoJo at the same time, and Casey said, hey man, right now we working on the hook and I'm going to do my Bobby Womack thing and you know I'm going to spray it, man. It's like I already knew because shout to Bobby Womack, one of the most incredible soul singers of our time that we grew up on. And then Casey said, JoJo is going to do the writing of the whole lyric. Wherever I go, I want to accept nothing but the best. That whole part, he wrote that part. As you hear in the hook, they're intertwining each other very well. Casey is doing his Bobby Womack thing and that hook is so catchy that it makes you sing it anytime you hear Royalty being played anywhere in the world. Now, since this is what contains the sounds, as you know, our new weapon of choice, once I elevated to different machinery with the MPC 60, the Akai S950, they were linked so that you could sync them up. We used to use a thing called an SBX 80 sync box made by Roland. That's what made it talk to each other to lay it when the tape starts to read, called time code, and insert the disc. Load it up and hit play like this.
And the cleanest. Sounds so good, don't you agree?
We couldn't get Casey and JoJo into the video to shoot it at the time that we wanted to get it going. So fortunately, this is the crazy thing. For one, adult film star Ron Hightower, who's known in the adult industry for being a performer and a director, was the director of this video. Adult stars know how to shoot too, on film. And he came up with a concept of us shooting in Harlem, the basketball park, both by the projects. And then he said we should be on the subway, which we call the Iron Horse or the train. He said we should shoot in the train station, which we had to get a lot of permission and permits to get it done, which is very rare, but they approved us. And again, we're not platinum status, and they still approved it. The crazy thing also was the metro cars that you have to use to this day to get into through the turnstile to get to a train track you want to go to, they made Gangstar metro cards that you had to swipe to get into it, because we turned into a party with a bar and all of that. At the end of that shoot, when we shot in the train station, shot the Red Alert, shot the Greg Nice from Nice and Smooth, they were there. So many people were there. It was a dope party. But the ill thing was Super Bowl Sunday. I was like, man, we're shooting a video on Super Bowl Sunday, and I love football. We didn't want to miss it. We were in Times Square, and the Jumbotron right there in Times Square was showing the Super Bowl. It was the Green Bay Packers versus the New England Patriots. And my brother-in-law's brother, Johnny Holland, was on the Green Bay Packers. So they won the Super Bowl, and he got a ring that same day. The ill thing was, while we're shooting in the street with all of our crew, we see Tretch and Keith Murray walking by, and they're going, yo, what are y'all doing over there? I said, yo, we're shooting a video. Oh, we jumping in it. They jump in it. And that was such a big deal, too, because they were both platinum artists already. And we just knew it was going to turn out to be one of the best things that ever happened to Gangsta's, you know, history. And our first album to ever go gold. And the crazy thing is, Guru created the plaque with our Virgin staff. Shout out to Virgin Records. We had just moved from EMI to Virgin. Same distribution company, but it was called a transfer. EMI was moving on from hip hop on the level that we come from and moved over to Virgin. We ended up being family with New Tribe, which was also part of Rap-A-Lot, Scarface, Ghetto Boys. They were all there. The Loonies were there. And, you know, became one big happy family, and everybody was doing well with the releases of their albums. Look at our plaque right here. That's our promo picture in the background. And Guru put everything together. He said, we got to have vinyl in it. We got to have the cassette. We got to have the CD. And then the label put the number one Billboard tags on the front. And I remember Jay-Z saw me at D&D one day, right when the album went number one. And he goes, how does it feel? How does it feel? And I was like, damn good, Jay. Because Jay had already been going platinum, you know, with his last couple of albums. So he was already set. This is our first, and your first always means something. Oh, one funny story. The line when Guru says, word to Bugsy and to Red Alert, Sway and Tech, and Funkmaster Flex to make your head jerk. We had already had Red Alert because he was with us at the video shoot. Sway and Tech, they were in the Bay Area, so we couldn't get them in it, but we had old footage of them that we were able to get to show them in the video. And then Bugsy said, look, I'll come to Harlem and shoot it. But he got there when we were shutting down, and Ron was like, hey man, we're out of budget, we gotta save the budget for tomorrow, so Bugsy can't be in it. And I said, all we gotta do is just showing us putting our arms around him, takes 5 seconds and we're done. He's like, nope, can't do it. I said, brother, if we don't get Bugsy in this video, the video's not coming out, we're taking all the footage. He goes, come on over here, Bugsy. And Bugsy speaks on it all the time when I run into him. He's a legend. Bugsy's a mic wrecker. He's a dope radio personality. And that's how he got in that quick shot. And then Flex came to D&D and said, just run the track. And that's why he's doing all this in the video, because he said, just run it and just take whatever you need. And I filmed that, gave it to Ron Hightower, and he inserted it in the edit. And then you have royalty. And now history is done.
Shout to Ron Hightower. Shout to KC and JoJo.
Shout to Guru. Rest in peace. Gotta respect the floppy disk.
Like that.
The Gangstar has got to be the sure shot.
And it's like that.
The Gangstar has got to be the sure shot.
And it's like that.
One of the meanest and the cleanest, and still I'm kinda fiendish when I'm at this. Been doing this for eons, peons best to catch this. Vision of excellence, precise rapping ability. About to make some dead presidents, macking a million G. The money though, it's got people acting funny, yo. As soon as some niggas get some light, they be like dummies, yo. Products and puppets and pawns, getting played out. When authentic niggas step up, respect be laid out. Major effect to your sector, I'm the corrector. Live and direct, waving my mic like a scepter. Supreme, exalted, universal leader. Descendants of the kings and queens, the overseer, the overlord, cream of the crop, creme de la creme. Spent years building with cats in the streets, so they my men. Again, Gangstar has done it. Remember too much jewels back in the days, you'd have to run it, check it. The ground be hot under our feet, so we be listening to beats to keep the cypher complete. Whether you kids be holding on the block all day, or you be puffing lot out in the back hallway, or whether you be in school or in the library, wherever you are, baby Paul, realize that your essence is divine, son, and let it shine, son, as we refine, son. Ayo, this shit'll blow your mind, son, we're royalty.
Wherever I go, I wanna jump nothing less than the best. Whatever I choose to do, I have to stand out from all the rest. Whatever I do, wherever I go, I wanna jump nothing less than the best. Whatever I choose to do, I just wanna stand out from all the rest.
And all the girls, they wanna spoil me. My honey anoints me with oils, G. After work, she greets me and treats me like royalty. Works with me, giving herself by my side. She don't sweat me for loot, my fame, or my ride. A lot of ladies out there be looking lovely, but they don't got no control of their life. Inside, they're ugly. Word to Bugsy, enter Red Alert. Sway and Tech and Funkmaster Flex to make your head jerk. Chicks go berserk when they see us in the spot. Casey, JoJo, and Primo creeping to the top. And to the sweethearts out there breaking hearts while we're taking part of this hip-hop art. Listen, yo, the best way, it ain't always the fast way. And yes, the best way, it ain't always to act nasty. I'll open up the door always before you pass me, baby doll, because you're royalty.
Whatever I do, whatever I go, I wanna jump nothing less than the best. Whatever I choose to do, I have to stand up from all the rest. Whatever I do, wherever I go, I wanna jump nothing less than the best. Whatever I choose to do, I just wanna stand up from all the rest.
A gang star has got to be the sure shot.
It's like that.
A gang star has got to be the sure shot.
It's like that.
May concern, this goes out to anybody who's doing the bullshit straight up. Yo, everybody's calling me, my lawyer, everybody on this. Yo, did you scratch such and such name or this, that, and the third on a record for a hook? Y'all keep calling me on that shit, man, and y'all supposed to be hip hoppers and all that and letting the industry control the rules of the hip hop world that we made. Y'all need to knock that shit off. That's some greedy ass fake bullshit. Knock that shit off for real. You know what I'm saying? And when that shit come and slap you in the face, you know what I'm saying, that greed, I'm going to be right there laughing at y'all. And one other thing, what's the deal with you break record cats is putting out all the original records that we sample from and snitching by putting us on the back of it saying that we use stuff? You know how that go. Stop doing that. Y'all are violating straight up and down.
To make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19, visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Et vous écoutez CKUT 90.3 à Montréal.
Ok, oh, merci beaucoup.
case of symptoms similar to those of COVID-19, such as fever, cough, sore throat, loss of taste, or smell, you should take a rapid home screening test. If you test positive, isolate yourself at home and please follow the self-isolation instructions. If you don't have a rapid home screening test, please self-isolate for the recommended period. Visit quebec.ca/self-isolating for complete instructions on how to protect yourself and others. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
There is this thing. Do you realize
what is?
There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing
on.
There is this thing going on.
What?
Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Off the Hour, right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are 23 days into the month of December. We are broadcasting from unceded Mohawk and Anishinaabe territory. You're tuned into The Avalanche, a special presentation of CKUT's Community News Department. The Avalanche seeks to cover issues affecting those with disabilities. I'm your host, Zoe. On today's show, audio from the 2019 Justice for Solly event, commemorating the life of Solomon Fakiri, a man with mental illness who died in Ontario Correctional Facilities custody. Then, an interview with a representative from Autistics for Autistics Canada that aired in April on the topic of the COVID-19 crisis. All that plus your weekly music picks right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. You are listening to The Avalanche, where all abilities are welcome. If you'd like to get involved, you can call 514-448-4041, extension 67.